The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food. Hey everyone, welcome to the Just Veggies podcast here at plantersplace.com. My name is Ellen Wells, and I am the author of the Just Veggies blog here at Planter's Place. Today we're going to be talking about planting your victory garden, vegetable garden, outdoors. Now, in my last edition of the Just Veggies podcast, I referenced the National Garden Bureau's series of four blog posts about the Victory Gardening 2.0 concept, or more accurately, it's vegetable gardening in response to the coronavirus pandemic. You might have tried to order some seeds online and noticed that they were all sold out at different seed vendors, such as, I think, Burpees and Johnny's Select. And people are really kind of hunkering down and preparing for, an educational experience with their kids, or wanting to go to the grocery store a little bit less frequently, or just being, active outside in the garden. So now, if you are new at this gardening thing, vegetable gardening thing especially, and you need a little bit of help, no worries, I got your back, and we are here to help. So each of the National Garden Bureau's four blog posts on the topic of Victory Gardening 2.0 have about 10 tips each, and or steps of what to do, how to do it, where to do it, that kind of thing. And I'm here to share a few of those tips from each one of those blog posts from the National Garden Bureau, but I'm also here to share some of my own experiences and my real world suggestions for what to do. Now, while the National Garden Bureau's first blog post was all about planning your vegetable garden, the second post, which is tips for planting veggies outdoors, actually gets your hands dirty. You're going to be preparing the soil, planting the plants, and laying down some mulch. Or maybe not. Maybe you're not going to put some mulch down this year. Anyway, here are a few tips from the National Garden Bureau's list that I want to expand on a bit. The first one, cool season veggies produce quickly. And that's true. So peas, radishes, and spinach are some of the earliest crops and should already have been sown directly into the ground, even when the temperatures are still pretty cool. And I say cool, not cold. So seeds according to the seed package directions, obviously, including the distance between the seeds. This is a step that new gardeners often overlook, as well as old gardeners, because I often sow the seeds too close myself, especially of radishes and things like that. I try not to, but it happens. Kale and lettuce are also crops that can be planted pretty early in the spring, a little bit later than peas and radishes, but if you're in the Northeast, end of April or so. The bonus with kale and lettuce is that you can sow them a little bit thicker than it says on the package directions, and I'll tell you why. Because you can do a cut and come again type crop. So that means sowing them pretty thick, waiting for the leaves to get about 3 to 5 inches tall, and then you trim those leaves so that there's maybe an inch and a half or so between the ground and where you've cut. And then you can use those trimmings for salads, baby greens, baby mesclun, that sort of thing. So again, this cut and come again method of harvesting can be done multiple times. And the other thing I like to do is eventually, when I want those lettuces or kale to grow into adults, I will thin the seedlings to the recommended spacing. So if the recommended spacing was 2 inches apart, I would pick a clump and leave that there and then space 2 inches and take out all those little baby kales or baby spinaches or baby lettuce and just pull those out of the ground. So you'd have like a little clump of one or two or three kales in one section. 2 inches later, the same thing. And then between those, bare ground. Okay, moving on to the next one. So my next tip, plant transplants when the weather begins to warm. Now, if you're not going to plant seeds directly into the garden, you will probably either buy some baby plants at the garden center, or you may have started baby plants in some soil in your home. So baby plants are tender young plants, and oftentimes they are of crops that are just not frost hardy. They don't like to get cold at all. And for those, you know, we're talking tomatoes, peppers, zucchini, squash, that kind of thing. So if you have grown your veggies from seed in the house, or you bought, actually, that's not true. If you grew them in your house and you want to put them outside, what you will have to do is acclimate those baby plants before you put them outside. So they're going from a nice, warm, toasty house to, you know, it's still outside temperatures, even though it's about 50 or so degrees outside. You'll put them outside, maybe on a porch or an enclosed sun porch or something like that, and let them experience cold weather little by little. Maybe leave them out on the porch for an hour. Try to do this on a cloudy day. And then gradually, day by day by day, leave them out there a little bit longer, let them get exposed to a little bit more intense sunlight. And then I would say after about 5 days or so, you might be ready to put them out into the garden. Try to do it on a warm but somewhat cloudy day so that the sun doesn't get to beat down on them too much. And then the third tip, so this is taken from the National Garden Bureau, and I'm expanding on it a little bit. The third tip is, and this is a very good point that they had, both pepper plants and tomato plants, the transplants that you're, you know, the baby ones, when you dig a hole for them and bury them, bury their roots, you want to plant them a little bit deeper than the soil level on their roots. So maybe an inch or so for peppers, an inch or so deeper. So you're burying the stem a bit. And for tomato transplants, you want to bury them pretty darn deep. So just about where their first set of leaves are, snap those first sets of leaves off, dig a hole that's that deep. It could be, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches deep, and then bury that transplant, tomato transplant, so that that first set of leaves that you broke off is buried. And from that section of stem, they'll start growing what you call adventitious roots. So these are roots that develop from the stem, and those roots do two things, especially for peppers. The deeper you bury the pepper, the more stable, more upright the pepper plant will be. It's like when you dig a hole to bury a post. You want the post not to be in just an inch. You want the post to be in pretty deep so that the ground is holding it up pretty securely. And I'm going to remember that tip this summer for peppers, because my peppers always tip over. I'm going to bury them deeper this year. Now, the other benefit of burying them pretty deep is They grow more roots. They get to be more stable. But those roots are also able to more efficiently take water out of the ground. So in times of less rain, and when maybe you've forgotten to water for a day, those tomato plants especially are better capable of surviving through water stress conditions. So that's something that all gardeners should do on a more frequent basis. Bury your tomatoes as deep as you feel comfortable. Okay, so that was just three, actually it was two and a half tips from the National Garden Bureau's tips, 10 tips for planting an outdoor veggie garden. That means that there are at least 7 or 8 tips I haven't mentioned. So please go to the National Garden Bureau website, www.ngb.org, and you can read their blog posts from there. Your garden will definitely benefit from it. Now, that was post number 2 for me of the 4 National Garden Bureau tips that I'll be sharing, or blog posts that I'll be sharing. So there's 2 more to come. So when those are up, please do feel free to go listen to those. Thank you so much, and good luck with the garden.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planters Place podcast.